Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It has been way too long since we've chatted with this guy, one of our favorite dudes on the planet, and he's on his way to Hinkle Fieldhouse, not Madison Square Garden, but they're going back to Indianapolis.
It's the Hinkle.
As Utah will square off against Indiana State in the NIT semifinals, the head coach of the Utes, Craig Smith, joining us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's been way too long. I do got to tell you, I love that Nirvana song that you had as kind of the lead-in, and it got me thinking, because I love music, any kind of music. And you talked about Hinkle Fieldhouse, and Brandon Haddock, one of our players, has been saying, Highway to Hinkle. and so a little play on words there, but it's been a fun ride here, and we practiced at 8 a.m. this morning, local time, so I don't have to tell you what time it is, your time, right now. So the guys are up and at them early, and, you know, it's fun. I've been doing this for a long, long time, and I remember at Mayville State when I was the head coach there, 32 teams make the national tournament, and the first round of the tournament, everybody's at one site, and the first round of the tournament's 2 full days. So the first game is at 8:30 in the morning, and the last game is like scheduled to start at 9:30, but we all know how that goes. It's usually 10:30, 10:45. And one of my years, my second year there, we played the 8:30 game, the very first day of the tournament. And so we started practicing at 5 a.m., you know, and we had a bunch of night owls on that team. And I was like, this could be interesting. But they were fired up, woke up early, no sleep in the eye. They're ready to go. And we had that same look this morning. So that was a great sign.
How's Indianapolis treating you, Coach?
Well, we got in. We practiced at Utah yesterday and hopped on the plane. And we got into the hotel about 8:30 last night. So I had some food for the guys. The scout team met with one of our coaches, Tramell Barnes, to go over some things. And we got a good night's sleep and up and at them. So, like I said, I had a good practice earlier today, and now I've been just kind of hanging out a little bit with my family, but more so just getting ready. I watched some Georgia film. You know, if we could beat Indiana State, and believe me, that's going to be a very difficult game. On the other side of the bracket, we have Seton Hall and Georgia as well. So I've already watched Seton Hall and preparing for Georgia. And then on a personal note, my son Carson my son Carson Smith, we have 4 kids, Darcy and I. He committed to North Dakota State to play basketball.
Nice.
So that was a pretty cool deal for him to be able to do it in Hinkle and just everything that goes with that and just the whole lead up to it. He's passionate about basketball. He loves it. And so it's fun to see his dedication and work ethic and all that kind of stuff pay off. I was an assistant at North Dakota State for 3 years. So Dave Richmond and I have known each other for a long time, and it's a perfect fit.
Oh, man. I can't imagine how cool that is as a dad when you see that come across and the opportunities that are going to come from it. That's really cool. Congratulations to you and Darcy and him.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been an amazing journey, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, so from a selfish standpoint, I'm not going to lie, Coach. We're going to backtrack a little bit. When I see you and Ryan Odom and Bairstow and Shulga all competing against each other, that threw me for a loop. That was a weird one for me.
Well, I think it was for everybody, you know. That's close to the program, you know, close to the Utah State program. You know, when the brackets came out, my son Brady, who actually plays at Salt Lake Community College, he had medical hardship with a fractured orbital, not to get to, but Brady's going to be a big part of this question. You know, being the head coach at Utah State, and I did not know Ryan. Obviously, I left, you know, to be the head coach at Utah, and Ryan becomes the next head coach. So immediately you have a bond, right? I mean, I'll always remember my first year at Utah State. We go play at the Marriott Center, right, play at BYU, and we lose. And we were just coming off some big wins. And Stu Morrill sent me a text, Coach, don't get too down. Everybody's been in those shoes. Anybody that's coached at the University of Utah, at Utah State, you know, has felt what you're going through right now. You got a good team. Stay with it. Don't be discouraged. Stay positive. Keep going. I always remember that, for him to reach out and say something like that. So there's a brotherhood there. And then my son Brady was in between his junior and senior year of high school, and he wanted to stay. Logan Brown's the new coach at Green Canyon. And so Brady stayed with my oldest son, Landon, who's about to graduate from Utah State. He's student teaching right now. He's got 3 weeks left. So he's going to graduate. He stayed with Landon's best friend's parents in Logan. And so, but he really got to know Owen, Odom, Coach Odom, Lucia, the whole family, Connor. And he stayed overnight so many times there, they just nicknamed the spare bedroom Brady's room. I think they actually put a sign up that said Brady's room in the house. And so, you know, I'm forever, Darcy and I are forever indebted to them for taking him in during a hard time and welcoming with open arms. He always says, Brady, you can walk on a VCU if you want. And so anyway, it was super cool. And Brady and Owen spoke it into existence. When the brackets came out, they're like, oh, man, this is going to happen. And sure enough, it did. So it's always, you know, hard when you play against friends. And, of course, he wanted to beat our butt, and we wanted to beat theirs, you know, and earn victory. But it's always can be difficult. And then you throw in the layer, you know, that we recruited Sean Bairstow and coached him for 2 years and recruited Max Shuga and coached him for a year. And I did an official a home visit in Brisbane, Australia with Sean and his entire family, except for the one brother, and I forget his name, Cam, maybe, that played in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Cam was the only sibling that was not there. And Sean's mom, Penny, you know, is a coach. And I told this story. I don't know if you heard it. I had never liked salmon. I just had never liked it. So you fly all the way there, and I went right to the house to do the visit. You know, you're a little groggy and a little jet lag. And we do the whole deal. I do the presentation. Then it's time to serve dinner. And here comes Salmon, and I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. You know, you can't not, right? You got to, I mean, so it was incredible. Like, ever since that point, now I love salmon. So I got to thank Penny for that, because it's one of the go-tos in the diet. So it was cool. It was great to catch up with him after the game. I followed him very closely. I look at every box score, think the world of both those guys. They're great players, but even better people.
So, Coach, when you guys get this NIT opportunity, you accept the bid and you move into competition, I'm just curious, how important was this level of success for you in that moment and what you guys are currently going through?
Well, I think it's been great for our program. You know, we had some real highs and we had some really tough times, as most teams go through, most teams, not all. You know, I feel like we had to kind of reinvent our team a few different times for a multitude of reasons. You know, a lot of the year we played with 9 scholarships, 10 scholarship guys, and that's just how it goes sometimes in athletics. And I thought we were playing pretty good basketball to end the year, although we had a couple tough losses on the road late. You know, Brandon Carlson gets hurt when we're up 8 on Oregon with about 17 to go. But, you know, and we were still on the bubble almost all year, right, until the very end. And I thought that said something about our team. And so, you know, when we got the invitation, there was really no doubt in my mind that we're going to play basketball. Like, the opportunity to play games and to compete. You know, when we were talking about North Dakota State, and I was an assistant there for 3 years. I always remember this, and I'm going to put this up, but we're kind of rebranding our office area. And in the weight room at North Dakota State, and I think, Hans, you would really appreciate this, in the weight room, and we're big into the weight room as a program, but it had this big, you know, Bison logo, and it said, bring on the competition. And it's never too late. And we always try to recruit real competitors, guys that love to compete, not just play. Right? There's some guys that love to play, but then other guys love to compete. And you got to get guys that love to play and compete is the key. And so I asked a lot of the guys, and they were almost to a man, like, yes, we want to keep playing. And it wasn't, you know, it was hard, you know, when you lose to Colorado in that conference tournament, and you know you're not going to make the NCAA tournament. And to almost to a man, they wanted to keep playing because they're like, this is the closest knit team I've ever been a part of. And all these guys come from different experiences, right? And different backgrounds. And so, I thought that kind of galvanized us. And, you know, obviously we were able to play three games at home, and you start gaining a little bit of momentum and confidence. And we got a couple guys that I would say are playing their best basketball of the year right now. So at the end of the day, you know, I said this post-game press conference, like whether it's a team or a season or in life, everybody has to run their own race. And you don't know what that race is. And, you know, some people are born on third base. They think they hit a triple. Some people, we all got to go through our own story. And I think it's important. Don't worry about comparisons, right? Comparisons is the thief of joy. You just got to own your race, run your race to the very best that you can. And the results will take care of themselves. So at the end of the day, there's 362 teams in Division One, and we're one of eight teams playing. And our race is we made it to this Final Four, and we're excited to compete against a really good Indiana State team.
We got to get you need me to overnight you some of the voice spray. What do I got to do to help you out here a little bit?
I got my wife always buys in bulk. The problem is, she really tries to coach me up sometimes, and I'm not always the best listener. She just tried to call in on this interview, and she's probably reminding me, take the voice spray. I have two of them in my backpack, but I need to take it out and just put it, you know, in the hotel room right on the corner so I don't forget. So I'm gonna do that right now while we're speaking.
I used to be
I carry it with me everywhere, and she always says, use the Scotty G voice spray.
Yep. Yep. Works like magic. Absolutely. Hey, you're up against everybody. I mean, I would have loved to have seen what this guy, the attention he would have got in the NCAA tournament, but Indiana State loses to Drake in their Missouri Valley Conference tournament. And so they're in the NIT, but Robbie Avia, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, as everybody has called him, he's been, you know, kind of a novelty, but then when you sit back and actually watch him play, he is such a phenomenal talent. Just kind of talk about what you've seen on film and the issues that he's going to cause for your team.
Well, that's the truth. I think he has three nicknames. I don't know all of them. I think I know two of them. But he's good. He's really good. And their team accentuates him as well. They're just a complete team. But he is he's just a very unique player. You know, he's a little bit different than a guy that we have, Brandon Carlson, but there's definitely some similarities. You know, he's listed at 6'10", I think 230, 235, can really, really shoot it. He's an elite passer. You know, for the BYU fans out there, he's got some similarities to their starting center, Khalifa, who is just a magician with the ball. So he's an elite, and we played BYU, right, in December. And so he's just so hard to prepare for because he's constantly picking and popping. So now you got to work on your rotations, your stunts, your help side. They do a great job of what we call burning the stunt guy. So they're always diving. You know, as good a shooter as he is, he's a better passer. He sees the floor like a point guard. And so when you have that, you know, he's got a little Jokic in him, right? And I know that's like a huge, but like that's kind of how he plays. And so puts a lot of pressure. And then the way they've built around them, you know, their foreman, who's a high-level guy, they were high school teammates, actually, and I believe they both transferred in there. His last name is Kent, but his nickname is Cutter. He's an elite cutter. He kind of, you know, Justin Bean was such a great cutter. Like, he's kind of like that, where he's constantly cutting and moving and gets two offensive boards a game. And then they have three guards that are all three-level scorers. They get to the rim, they shoot pull-ups, they can really shoot it from the three. So they just put a ton of pressure on you, and they're dynamic. They're very, very athletic and fast. So they put a lot of pressure on you that way. But when you have a five that can really stretch you, all five of their starters have made 35 threes or more. 50% of their shots are from the three. They make over 11 a game at 38%. So they're very good that way. And, you know, it's neutral at Hinkle, right, the home of Hoosiers. However, the Indiana State campus is 71 miles from Hinkle. So we use the term neutral loosely because it's a sold-out crowd. So it's going to be a great vibe in Hinkle Arena tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, 5 o'clock tip here on ESPN. You can watch that thing, and I would suggest you get out there and watch it. Coach, I want to talk just a second about Davon Smith because his eligibility and his whole year has been quite the story to follow. Talk about what he's meant to the team. Will you talk a little bit about what the struggle was to get him eligible and then what he's meant to the team and maybe even the records that he's putting up with the Pac-12 triple-doubles?
Yeah, so first of all, interesting enough, you know, he's a two-time transfer, so that was the struggle. He started out his career, I believe he was a top 50 player out of high school. And, you know, I don't get crazy into the rankings, the fans do. But he went to Mississippi State during the COVID year with Ben Hallen. And he's from Atlanta, Georgia. Just wasn't feeling it. Transferred home to Georgia Tech, played there 2 years. We actually played Georgia Tech in our MTE last year, so we prepared for him. And we saw on film, I mean, this guy's really dynamic. Got hurt, missed all of February at Georgia Tech. So he comes to University of Utah, two-time transfer. So at that time, right, you had to sit out. He applied for a waiver, and then while he was going through the waiver process, right, the NCAA cleared all two-time transfers. And so we just slowly, you know, worked him into the lineup. He played right away, but obviously he was a little tentative and, you know, kind of working the cobwebs out, so to speak. And then, you know, Raleigh Wooster, so he was playing a lot, and I thought we were really starting to find our rhythm. I think we beat UCLA by 46 or something like that. And then Wooster goes down. And so now, you know, Davon's our exclusively our point guard, and it's just, you know, he's just really starting to thrive. He played some point guard at Georgia Tech, but not exclusively. And obviously some of the numbers he's been able to put up have been tremendous. But I think he has 5 triple-doubles. I think he missed another one by 1 assist or 1 rebound in the conference tournament. And so he set a record for the Pac-12 with most triple-doubles in a season. And like Brandon Carlson said, I don't think that one will get broken. And so he's done some amazing things. He's just super dynamic, 45-inch vertical, super, super fast in transition, well, all the time. And so it's been fun to see his progression. And like I said, he's been playing his best basketball of the year, specifically the last 3 weeks.
Well, Coach, I know you're a history guy. We would talk about the history of basketball all the time back in the day and the stuff that you enjoy and where you've been and all that stuff. I know Madison Square Garden would have been really cool, but this isn't a bad consolation prize to be playing in the old Hoosier gym.
Well, it's awesome to still be playing. Certainly, you know, Indiana loves basketball. The state of Indiana, I mean, people love basketball here. And I compared it, you know, this morning at the press conference, the state of Utah loves basketball. I mean, basketball junkies. And so it's an historic venue. When we drove up, you know, I'd always heard it and I'd never seen it. You're just driving through a resident. It'd be like driving in the middle of Bountiful. And all of a sudden you turn a corner and there's Hinkle, like just in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of like, what? And it's old school. I mean, it just looks like this huge, I don't know, it's hard to describe it. Like you would think. I mean, it's just kind of like what you think. And you walk in there and we were the first team to practice. And it was very serene, just very peaceful. But yet you can just kind of feel it and the vibe of it when we walked in. And kind of a blessing to be able to walk in there and no other team was on before us. They're not rushing another team off and us on. We could just kind of take our time, do the stretches. And we had a great, like I said, we had a great practice. And so it's really cool. Obviously the movie Hoosiers, which I try to watch once a year. And, you know, I asked a couple of the guys, hey, did you guys bring the tape measure? They had no clue what I was talking about. No clue. And then some other guys were like, you know, like Gabe Mattson and Brandon Carlson, like, guys, are you serious? You've never watched Hoosiers? And so, anyway, it is really cool to be at a historic venue in a state that truly loves basketball and going against the home team, you know, for all intents and purposes, the home team. And there's a connection with the University of Utah, right? Larry Bird played at Indiana State. And in all these games that I'm watching, and I'm old school, I don't watch clips. I watch the whole game. They talk about that team. And, of course, Indiana State played Michigan State with Magic Johnson in the Huntsman Center. So there is kind of a, in some ways, like a full circle moment that way. And that's a really cool thing.
Well, Coach, good luck. We appreciate it. Thanks for hopping on. I know you had a busy day today, but
means a lot
that you do this for us. And again, go get him tomorrow. Should be a lot of fun.
It's always my pleasure, and thanks for having me on. And I'm looking forward to a barbecue sometime soon. And I know we say this every year.
We say it every year.
We have to make it happen. So I appreciate you guys. Go Utes.
You got it. There he is, Craig Smith.
Thank you.
Head coach of the University of Utah.
Let's go. Bring him up.
Let's go.
All right. Let's go. Let me hear it.
I so.